in the beginning, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I'm going to read that 20th verse again. It is so rich. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and a portion of verse number 4. And that there is none other God but one. And there is none other God but one. And in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, the first commandment of all is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now that's the one true and living God that we're going to talk about today. And it is very important for us to know the true identity of God. To know who God is a great revelation. And to know who God is the believer's hope. The identity of Christ has been debated for ages. The true identity of Christ has caused many debates since Christ came into the world near 2,000 years ago. To some, He was a prophet. To some, He was a teacher. And to others, He was a good man. Then to some, He was an imposter, and He was a fraud. But to recognize Him as only a prophet and a teacher do Him the most harm, because they rob Him of the most crucial element, and that is His deity. When you tell me that He's only a prophet and a teacher and a good man, you rob Him of His deity. And I want to impress these things as I go along. Jesus Christ was the visible expression of the identity of God. Jesus Christ was the identity of God revealed to mankind. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, God was manifest in the flesh. Preached unto angels, believed or seen of angels, and preached unto the Gentiles, and was believed on in the world, and was received up into glory. Now, God was manifest in the flesh. Now, this is what it means. Five things. Number one, He who appeared in the flesh. Secondly, He in flesh was manifested. Thirdly, He, God, was made visible in human flesh. Fourthly, He was made visible in human form. Fifthly, showed Himself as a human being. In His role as the Savior, He was not only God, but He was also man. Now, that's what the great mystery is, and why some people cannot understand the mystery of the Godhead. You've got to believe in His absolute divinity and in His absolute humanity. He was absolute God and He was absolute man. Now, John chapter 1, verse 10, we have read that in the lesson. Verse 1, I'll say, In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 10th verse, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if the Word was God and the Word was made flesh, that means that God was made flesh and came into this world and was manifested in the form of Jesus Christ, which was both the Son of Man and the Son of God. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Now, that's what the Scripture said. Now, the Spirit was made flesh. It was not another deity, but it was God, everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. It was God Almighty. He veiled Himself in a temple of human flesh, and that human flesh was His Son, which came from the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, this, what we're talking about how the Spirit became flesh, this fusion of divinity and humanity, the blending of flesh and spirit, coming together is what made the mystery. Now, not discerning his deity, he was accused of exercising rights and privileges that only belonged to God. First, he forgave sins. God could only do that. He forgave sins because he was God in the form of man. He accepted worship, and only God could do that. He performed two things that only God can do. First, he had power to forgive sins. Secondly, he accepted worship. Now, if he had not been my Lord and my God, he could not and would not have, under any condition, accepted worship from anybody. But because he was God, he forgave sins. Because he was God, he accepted worship. And through eternity, this will be the theme of the redeemed of all ages. All honor and glory and praise be heaped upon him, because he was worthy. He was worthy then, and he's worthy now. Everything we do for him, we cast it upon a very worthy individual. He accepted worship. Only God could do that. The fleshly body was born in Bethlehem, but the eternal Spirit, God the Father, that dwelt in him, is from everlasting. Now, that's where all the confusion comes from. And I'd like for somebody to lend me a pen. I want to make an illustration, and I only have two in my pocket. One of them is a bright red, and the other one, I don't know what color that is. Yes, sir, here is a man that's got a pocket full of pens. Now, I want to show you. No, this is all right. I want to show you what Trinitarians teach, and we'll see if it does make any scriptural sense. Now, they teach before Jesus Christ was born in the world that there were three separate distinct persons in the Godhead in heaven, namely Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, that was before Christ was born in the world. And while I was traveling years ago, I came home from a meeting, and there was a very famous preacher that was going to preach. He was from Fort Worth, Texas, and they had an open-air tabernacle, and he was going to preach that night, and I went out to hear him. And this is what that man preached. He said, in eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they had a round table discussion. I don't know why it wasn't a square table, but it was a round table discussion, and all three sat down at the table, namely, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Son got up and said, now, Father, if you will let me go down and die for the sins of the world, I will return back to heaven. The Holy Ghost got up and said, now, Father, if you will let the Son go down and die and let him come back, then I will go down and be the comforter to the people. Now, that man preached that before hundreds of people. Now, here's one thing that I've never been able to get an answer from anybody. If Jesus Christ was the Son, separate from the Father in eternity, before he was born of the Virgin Mary, where did the Son come from? Who was his mother? Where did he come from? I hemmed a Trinity preacher up in a debate, and I said, now you answer me, where did this Son come from if he was already a Son, separate from the Father, before he was born of the Virgin Mary? You know what he said? He said, somewhere in eternity, God created Jesus Christ. I said, that's your poison in your Trinity cup. If he is a creature and not the Creator, we cannot worship him. But the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And God, which was the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, to say that there are three distinct, separate persons in the Godhead, namely Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, each one is co-equal in thought and in power. And in other words, the Son has as much power as the Father. The Father has as much power as the Son. And the Holy Ghost has as much power as the Son or the Father. Now, they'll tell you, Billy Graham will tell you that the Trinity cannot be explained. And I agree with Billy. Nobody can explain it. How there can be three separate, distinct persons in the Godhead, co-equal in thought and in power. They all co-equal in thought and in power. The Bible does not teach that in one single solitary scripture of the Word of God. They call us a cult because we teach that. We're not a cult. We're the church. I said, we're not a cult. We're the church. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Where was God? He was in Christ. That's why Jesus could say, when you see me, you see Him that sent me. When you see me, you see my Father. Then how can you say, after I've been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me? When you see me, you see the Father. Jesus said, it's not I that doeth these miracles, but it's my Father that lives in me. He's the one that performs the miracles. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. It is the revelation of Thomas that so clearly brings into focus the true identity of Christ. That's found in John chapter 20, verse 28. Thomas was strangely missing one time, and the Lord appeared in the midst of the other disciples. And when Thomas did come back, they said, we have seen the Lord. He said, I'll not believe you've seen the Lord until I see Him, until I feel of the nail prints in His hands, until I thrust my hand into the wound of His side. I won't believe you have seen the Lord. The Lord heard all of that big talk, and without a sound of a footstep on the stair, without the sound of the turning of a key in a lock, Jesus Christ appeared in the midst of the disciples, and Thomas was present. And the Lord said, Thomas, come here and feel the nail prints in my hands. Thrust your hand in the wound of my side. Now, this is what Thomas said. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. If Jesus Christ had not been His Lord and His God, you know what the Lord would have told him? He would have said, get up, Thomas. I cannot accept that worship because I am not your Lord and your God. But Jesus accepted that because He is the Lord. He is our God. He is the Lord of eternity. He is God, and that's all there is to it. Hallelujah. Now let me turn to Psalms 86 and 10. Here's a very beautiful scripture. In Psalms 86 and verse 10, this is what he said. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Thou art God alone. Not two more with Him. God alone. That was in the book of Psalms. Now, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. There's one thing that God doesn't know. He doesn't know another God. He said, is there another God? I know not any. Now back to their teaching. This is what to say. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If that be true, there are three gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if that be true, there are three gods. But God don't know anything about that. He never created the Trinity doctrine. He created this doctrine. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. His divinity, His humanity came to the front many times. His divinity came when He exercised power over nature. He told the angry waves to lay down and behave yourselves. And he sent the winds back home to rest, and that was a great calm. But in his humanity, he got thirsty. He had to have a drink. He got sleepy. He had to go to sleep. His humanity and his divinity was both manifested in the one man, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ in him got if all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's not three gods. There's three manifestations. In creation, he was the Father. In redemption, he's the Son. In salvation, he's the Holy Ghost. Not three separate, distinct persons, co-equal in thought and in power, but it is simply three manifestations of one God. It's that simple. But it's such a mystery, some people cannot understand it. And I will tell you that it does take a spiritual revelation to understand it. While other pagan cultures worshipped idols and false gods, wood, stone, whatever, the Hebrew nation was able to direct its worship and praise to the one focal point of divine authority, and that was Almighty God. God looked upon Israel, and in Israel, through Abraham, he deposited in them the truth of the one true God. Now, if you're going to judge a cult like they judge us today, then the Israelites was a cult, because they were separate from all the other nations round about. You know what separated them from all the other nations? It was the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, what separates us from all the rest of the Christian world? It's the one true God in Jesus Christ. That's what separates us. We don't find in our hearts to be angry with anybody. All we're trying to do is to display the truth like the Bible displays it, and to tell men there's only one God, and all of our worship, we must heap it up on Jesus Christ, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now notice this carefully. Israel worshiped the Almighty God. The New Testament is in perfect harmony with the Old Testament on this subject of one God. Now the Jews will go thus far. They'll say that there's only one God in the Old Testament. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible believes that. That there's only one God in the Old Testament, and that was the Almighty. That was the Creator. That was God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now let me go to some other scriptures here now. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. I might have already read that, but I would like to read it again to impress. Now notice carefully. And there is none other God but one. There is none other God but one. Now I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now you notice this carefully. There's one body and one spirit, even as you call in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now the earliest Christians of the New Testament found no contradiction between the God of Moses and the God of Simon Peter, James, and John. They saw no contradiction because they realized that the God of the Old Testament was spirit. Then that which was spirit became flesh, and God was manifested in the flesh. If folks could understand that, we'd have a great revival about the oneness of God. I had a new man here just a short time ago, came to me, and he wanted to thank me because one night I explained that to him. And he didn't know anything about the Godhead, and he said, I do want to tell you that I appreciated what you've done because you have set me straight on this. Now there was no contradiction. No contradiction in his new revealed manifestation. This is what separates the people of God from the numerous religions of our day. Keep yourselves from idols. You've got to know who to worship. You've got to know how to worship. You've got to know who died for you. You've got to know who was resurrected for you. And you've got to know at the sound of the trumpet who's going to return for you one day in what we know as the rapture of the New Testament church. I get excited when I get to talking about this. This is what separated the Hebrew nation. That's what separates us. In the Old Testament, it's the same with God's people in the New. The truth is, God was, God is, and God will always be one. I said, God is, God was, God always will be one. He manifested himself in a burning bush. But that was not his permanent dwelling place. He talked to a man through a mule. And the fellow said, there's your tongue talking. God talked through a mule. I said, thank God that's one old mule God could do something with. But because he talked out of a mule, he doesn't live in a mule. He lives in Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The different manifestations of God, he had no permanent place to dwell until Christ came. Let me tell you something about the Son of God. Did you know what the Bible said about the Son of God? The Son of God was made. Galatians, you'll find it. God was made of a woman under the law. The Son of God was made of a woman under the law. Now, where did the fleshly part of Jesus Christ come from? Now, Joseph was not his father. The Holy Ghost overshadowed. Now, they say that's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She conceived in her womb and brought forth a son. That visible part of God that we could see came from the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was made of a woman. Not in eternity. It was not created in eternity. It was made of a woman. Now, this is what they teach. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus was ready to come, that this second deity, which was the Son, he came down and robed himself in flesh. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it was God who is one. He's the one that came down and was manifested in the flesh. It was not another deity because it's not but one deity. Hallelujah. So they say this second deity, which was Jesus, he's the one that came down and took on a robe of flesh. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said it was God that took on flesh. He that was spirit was made flesh. If you've never looked at that word through the Bible, you'd be surprised to know what the Scripture said about what he was made. He was made sin for us. He was made poor for us. He that was spirit was made flesh. Something that he was not. He was made flesh. And the Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived. You see, they are teaching now. You'd be surprised at the preachers that has scrubbed the back of their head against the seminary wall that's out preaching today. That Jesus Christ had an earthly father. If he had an earthly father, he is not our Savior. He didn't have an earthly father. That's why he could say, my Father, and his Father was the Holy Ghost. And if that don't make Holy Ghost and God the same, I'm not standing up here. Like the Indian one time, you know, I was born and reared among Indians. They get drunk, they fight, they do, listen, they play ball and they take a bet and they skin each other's head, they fight. But one old Indian went out to one of these one God Pentecostal meetings and he heard somebody talking about the one true God. He said, I can't understand how three can be one. He said, I can't understand. Went home that night, a cold night, heavy snow. Stopped at a stream of water to get himself a drink. Pushed the snow back. Drank the water. Got up. He said, uh-huh. Said, I see it now. Snow, ice, water, all water. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all Jesus. It's so simple. Three manifestations. Snow, ice, water, all water. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all Jesus. Then you can hear one of them up in the corner and said, oh, I know there's not but one God. God was a God and Jesus was a God. That don't make sense. If that be true, there's two gods. They can't explain it. I've read after the smartest of them. I've heard the smartest of them try to explain it. They say, we are at a loss for words. If they just turn around and say, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, He that was spirit was made flesh, He was in the world was made by Him, it'd be no trouble to explain what we're talking about. And then they criticize us and call us Antichrist. The word anti means against. We're not against Jesus Christ. We are all for Jesus Christ. The Bible said, He that hath the Son hath the Father, and he that hath the Father hath the Son. We're not short anywhere. We've got Him in His fullness. And I shall preach it till I die. And I ain't about to die, I don't think. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If God is the Father and the Son is a God and the Holy Ghost is a God, it is unscriptural all the way, and there is not but one eternal God who was Spirit, and He manifested Himself in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice this carefully. Job chapter 13, verse 8 and 10. Will you accept His person? God will reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Plural. I don't want to be reproved of God because I don't accept three persons. Job said, will you accept His person? And God will reprove you if you do accept persons. That's plural. Now, God made man in His image. How many can say amen to that? God made man in His image. That's why I don't believe that men sprung from monkeys. I don't think God has an image of a monkey. Do you? No, sir, I don't either. But God made man in His image. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what Paul said about Jesus. Philippians 2, 6. Who being in the form of God. He was an invisible God. He had an invisible personality, but you couldn't see it. Then this invisible God just slipped on a temple of flesh, a robe of flesh, and came down and walked among men. And Jesus, the flesh, was in the form of the invisible God. That's what He said. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Christ is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, Christ is the image of God. Colossians 1:15, Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. He was invisible. Moses, when he stayed in the presence of God on the top of the mountain, when he came down, he had to put a veil over his face so the Israelites could gaze upon him. You see, no man can look at God unless He's hid behind something. Because the glory of His Spirit, you would fall dead at His feet. But He had to put a veil on. And when God got ready to come into the world, not a second deity, but when the first got ready to come into the world, He just simply slipped on a suit of flesh and walked among men, demonstrated humanity along with His divinity. So He was both God and man. All right, now, Christ is the image of the invisible God. It means three things. Christ, the visible expression of God. Number two, Christ, the very incarnation of God. Number three, Christ, the true likeness of God we cannot see. You can't see the invisible Spirit. But God hid behind a temple of flesh. The Spirit didn't die on the cross. It was the flesh that died on the cross. But they accuse us of preaching that heaven was vacated for 3 days while God lay in the tomb. The body that God lived in is what died. You see, the Spirit of God could not save anybody because the Spirit did not have blood. And the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So the Spirit took on flesh and blood. That's what the Bible said. He took on flesh and blood. He was made partakers of the same. And when He hung on the cross, dying, shedding His blood, the Spirit, the invisible God, did not die, but it was the house that God lived in. They put him in a tomb, but on the third day, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he did. Fellow told me one time, if you don't quit preaching what you're preaching, you'll soon be preaching that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. I said, I'm already preaching that. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 89. Beware, lest any man spoil you. Through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, Dr. Criswell, the pastor of the church in Dallas, Texas, one of the largest Southern Baptist churches in the whole wide world. He said, when you get to heaven, if you expect to see anybody but Jesus Christ, he said, you're going to be disappointed. I say the same thing. When you get to heaven, if you get there, walk around, walk up to the Master. Now, Lord, I've seen you, take me somewhere and show me the Father. He'll say, I had the same trouble while on earth. But my answer will be the same. If you see me, you've seen the Father. I wish people could understand that he was both a lamb and a lion. He was both father and son. Rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Human and divine. It's all in the Bible. It's all there. It's so plain. Until I don't see how anybody in this world could keep from seeing this. I think they just have to shut their eyes and close their ears to keep from understanding what I'm talking about. So simple. It was simply God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now notice this. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This means three things. First, Godhead in bodily form. Secondly, all the fullness of deity continues to live embodied. Number three, for in Christ there's all of God in a human body. Now that's what men say about this. When you get to heaven, you'll see Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why nobody, after Jesus gave the commission to baptize, nobody was ever baptized in the titles of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody in the Bible was ever baptized like that. And making the cross, that's the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The other night somebody asked me, he said, are you going to take me out for a steak? I said, I'll have to see. No, sir, I don't feel led. That's a mockery when you think about this. And I've preached so many funerals here. A lot of Catholic people attend because they are a friend. And every time they pass by the casket, don't do a bit of good in the world. But they can be sprinkled with the holy water. It's not a thing in the world but hydrant water. We've got more than a cup. We've got a whole grave up here that we baptize folks in. Praise God. Praise God. When you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are baptized in the proper name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father's a title. Son is a title. We've got to get a hold of the name. What is the name? The Lord Jesus Christ is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's it. Now, if you see me, you see the Father. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who been the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's what Job asked. Will you accept his person? God will reprove you if you do secretly accept persons, more than one. You better hear me good. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who been the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. It means three things. First, Christ is the copy of his being. The way Christ looked, that's the way the invisible person of God looked. For he was in his image. I think men ought to understand that. Number two, Christ, the very image of his substance. Number three, Christ, the flawless expression of the nature of God. I trust that I can instill this into your hearts. Probably your next pastor won't preach as much doctrine as I have. Maybe he'll preach other things. Of course, he'll still be preaching the Bible, but some people just major on certain things. And I love doctrine because when I started out, I was preaching in new places all the time. And that's all that we had to preach. We didn't have to tell a graveyard story to get people to pray. We just preached the Word of God, and that was it. And I would instill this into your system. If you never hear another sermon for the next 5 years, you will remember that God is in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah! It's in Him! It's in Him! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is the flawless expression of the nature of God. I've already quoted this scripture, Mark 12:29. The first commandment of all is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one supreme ruler. There's only one master. There's only one Lord of all. Ephesians 4:5, there is one Lord, not two or three, but one. When you get to talking to them, they'll say, Oh, yes, I know that God is the big Lord and Jesus is a little Lord. I wouldn't degrade Jesus by calling Him a little Lord. Why, He said He was the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The status of God, absolute deity, denotes divinity, perfection, power, and authority, and all of that was possessed by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love this message. Israel recognized God as their supreme ruler. There can be no separation of God and our Lord or Lord. They are one and the same. The Old Testament Jews prayed to God. They were praying to their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we pray to God, which is incarnated in Jesus Christ. The same God, only now in a visible form. He manifested Himself in the flesh. Revelation 19:1. Salvation, honor, glory, and power unto the Lord our God. He's the Lord our God. Now that's in the New Testament, Revelation 19, speaking of Jesus Christ. Salvation, honor, glory, and power unto the Lord our God. That's Revelation 19:1. That's Jesus Christ. I want to give you something to go home and eat beside a steak. 2 Samuel 22:32. Who is the Lord save God? Jeremiah 10:10. The Lord is a true God, an everlasting King. Now if the God of eternity is the Lord, and the Lord is God, and if He's the true God, now all in the world you've got to do to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and there's one Lord. Now if the God of eternity is the Lord, and if God is the true God, then if there's not but one Lord, all in the world I've got to do to find out who my God is to find out who my Lord is. Acts 9:5, when God tapped Saul on the head and knocked him to the earth, He said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, What Lord said? The only Lord there is. He said, I am Jesus. The Lord is God, the God of eternity is the Lord, and there's only one Lord, Ephesians chapter 4. Then if that be true, and thank God it's true, and nobody can ever take any kind of a crowbar and tear up the platform that I have laid here according to the Word of God. It can't be disturbed, it can't be destroyed. Now, I've got a whole lot more, and I'm not going to quit right now. I'm going to give you the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah before I turn to another sheet here. And I want you to notice this, Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll read verse number 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared. Now, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Now, this was the God of the Old Testament speaking in spirit when he said, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. Now, what does that mean? It means what it says. Is there another God? He said, I know not any. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That destroys the false teaching that God Almighty created Jesus Christ in eternity, which was the second God in the Godhead. Cannot be, my friend. Now, the God of the Old Testament said, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now, let me turn to John 8:24. The same God speaking, only he was in flesh now when he spoke. I said, therefore, unto you. Where did he say it? I said. Isaiah 43:10. I said, therefore, unto you, that you should die in your sins. For if you believe not, I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, that's exactly what the Bible said. And I have no cool whip to put on top of that to try to water it down. That's just like it is. Well, you might not like it, but so anyhow. Now, I got to thinking about this last night. And I got up some scripture that I had, of course, I've been over time and time and time again, but I got another thought here. Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Now, keep the word Father in mind. Have we not all one Father? Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. I said the Everlasting Father. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. God said, be ye separate. Come out and be ye separate. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's in the New Testament. Now, if Jesus Christ is the Everlasting Father, and then if there's another Father that the Bible calls the Lord Almighty, then we have two fathers and not one Father. I want that to soak in real good. But I think I'm giving some of you a blood transfusion right now. It won't hurt you. It'll do you good. It'll put life in you. It'll put zip in you. Praise God. We have a young man right now in this church that's suffering from people that he loves, and they love him because he has separated himself, and they say he's joined us, the cult. We are not the cult. We're the church. Now let me just get this all boiled down here. Have we not all one Father? Then Jesus is the Everlasting Father. Then Paul said that God said if you would come out and be separate, he would receive you, and that you would be his sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Genesis 17:1, God spoke to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. Now you see, I'm just simply identifying who our Father is. Strange. We don't have two fathers. We got one. If you've got 15 kids in your family, they've all got one father. And we've all got one father. Now, if Jesus Christ is not the Almighty, and if the Almighty is not Jesus Christ, then we wind up here with two fathers. But he's the Almighty. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is our Father. Here's a scripture that converted a man. He listened to me preach. He said, I don't believe what you're preaching. At least he was honest. You know, there's just one little scripture that I landed on him, and he got converted, and I baptized him. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6 and 7. Now, you listen to this. And he saith unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain, the waters of life freely. Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. Now, who is Alpha and Omega? Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 proves that. See, we have one Father. Jesus is the everlasting Father, and Jesus Christ is the Lord Almighty. No way around it. Now, if this is not the correct interpretation, then you can go home and say, well, I've got two spiritual fathers now. I've got the Almighty, and I've got Jesus. That don't make common nonsense. We've got one Father. He is the Almighty. He is the everlasting Father. He is the one true God, manifested himself in a temple of flesh. He arose to live forevermore, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now they come to a lot of confusion when they try to separate the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Now, John chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, you read it in the lesson. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, let me ask you a simple question. How does Christ come to dwell in you? Now, here's where they get all confused. Now, you listen to this in closing. Listen real carefully. Ephesians 4, there is one Spirit. Everybody say one Spirit. So I'll know that you're awake. One Spirit. Now Jesus said, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now when Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, this is what he meant. He said, while I'm with you in the flesh, I comfort you. But there'll be a day when I will not be here anymore. I'm going to heaven. But I'm going to give you a spiritual comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, which is my Spirit, and that Spirit will abide with you forever. Jesus in the flesh on earth couldn't abide down here forever because he was in the flesh. He was appointed to die, so he could not comfort people forever in the flesh. But he said, I'm going to send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And it's not going to abide with you for 3 years and a half, but it's going to abide with you forever. Now, let me identify the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 said there's one Spirit. Now, there's not three. If there are three separate, distinct persons in the Godhead, each would have a Spirit. Each one of you that I'm looking at right now, you have a Spirit. It takes a Spirit to make a person. Now, there's only one Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 4. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17, who is that Spirit? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. That's what he said. Now, here's where the confusion arises. To try to find out the difference between the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of God. I have the answer at my fingertips. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Now, you listen to this real good. Because this is better than any baked potato that you ever ate with your steak. Listen to it. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Two phrases used in the same verse. The Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. But he explains it in 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is what it is. The Lord is that Spirit. And there's only one Spirit. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Listen, at the baptism of Jesus, That was three different writers told the same scene with a little change in each one. When John baptized Jesus, the Bible said the heavens were open and the Spirit descended like a dove. The other writer said the heavens were open and the Spirit of God descended like a dove. The other one said the heavens were open and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. There's no difference between the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is all the same Spirit. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives in us by the power of His Spirit. And one day, you may be asleep, you may be sitting in a church, you may be on your job, wherever, but one day we're going to hear a sound from another world. Hallelujah. And that sound is going to be the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds with the Lord, and we shall forever be with Him. You ought to shout right now. Praise God. You ought to shout right now. What a hope we have. What a glory we have. What strength we have. What power we have. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I dare somebody to step out in that aisle and not shout. I just dare you to step out in that aisle and not shout. Hallelujah! Glory! We've been called everything but the right thing. But one day the world's going to know the true identity of His church. We have not denied. We have not denied the name of our bridegroom. We've taken Him in baptism. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And one day He shall return with all the power and the glory that heaven can afford. Hallelujah. And when He comes again, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Oh, hallelujah to God. Nobody ain't shouted yet. Hallelujah. Come over here. I want to shake hands with you. Thank God. You know who He is, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You love Him, don't you? You praise Him, don't you? Hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah! Brother Martin, come here. I want to shake hands with you. Praise God.